a resurgent Avidyne tips its hand about the next release of Integra. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us. Today, we're hearing part two of a conversation between ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell and Avidyne Director of Corporate Marketing Tom Harper. How will Avidyne compete in what is clearly a new world of more capable GA aircraft?
Synthetic vision and enhanced vision. These are terms that used to be associated with NASA goodies and big biz jets and so forth and so on, and are now finding their way into GA cockpits. What's unique about the Avidyne solutions in those regards?
Well, first off, as you know, Avidyne was deeply involved with the NASA Agate program back in 2000, and when we were the ones with NASA that developed the Highway in the Sky, we were on that program, and we demonstrated that and through a program with NASA. And so we've been around and involved with synthetic vision and Highway in the Sky and those kind of things for quite a while. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, there's this transition from six-pack to glass, and, frankly, the OEMs were somewhat reluctant to make too big of a leap when we first transitioned to glass. So blue over brown and standard symbology was kind of a first logical step. So, but we've very much got enhanced vision and synthetic vision, which you've certainly seen as well, on our radar. And with release 9, we'll get the platform in place to support that. And then when release 10 comes out, we'll have the synthetic vision and enhanced vision, which will be just software upgrades. Other than enhanced vision, of course, you'll need to put a camera on the airplane.
All righty. Do you have you identified your vendor for the camera, or are you going to do that in-house?
Well, we've been showing it with one vendor's camera, but we have a standard RS-170 interface, so it's not going to be vendor specific.
Oh, outstanding. All righty. Okay. Now, release 9. For the moment, you're looking at the Cirrus SR-20 and 22 series and the PA-46s. What kind of implementation, what kind of rollout can we expect?
All right, well, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, we've got close to 5,000 Integra-equipped airplanes out in the world today. Obviously, over a period of time, we've always given our customers an upgrade path to get to the next new thing, which we've demonstrated all along the life of the folks that have been our Cirrus customers for the last 6 years. So obviously the biggest market is the Cirrus market, and that's what we're certifying first. We've identified the PA-46 as the next logical step in terms of numbers of airplanes to target. So you can expect we'll continue to move down that path, and we just always want to give our customers the opportunity to move to whatever's the next new thing and have the ability to get to it.
Now, you've got a couple of different scenarios for the PA-46 upgrades, because you've got both two and three screen installations planned, correct?
Exactly. Well, the Piper Matrix, which came out about 2 years ago now, has a very similar installation in terms of components with what's in the Cirrus, so including the 55X autopilot. So it's very similar, in fact. Now, the Meridian and the Mirage are using three displays. They have the STEC 2100 autopilot, which is already a digital autopilot. So in the three display Meridian Mirage, we will replace the current three displays with three identical IFDs. Two of those will be populated with Adahars, so we'll still have dual Adahars capability. It'll have the option for a third Adahars. That's a possibility as well. We haven't gotten that far down the road yet, but that's the possibilities we have with the system because we have three identical units. We no longer think about it in terms of PFDs and MFDs. It's identical IFDs or integrated flight displays because each of them are the same part number and they each can perform as the same functions as the other.
Yeah, that's one of the things I got a kick out of once it really sunk home is the fact that you guys basically went way overboard on the concept of redundancy, because at no point is one part of the system having to substitute for the other. They're both mutually as well as exclusively capable of toting all the workload.
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things we looked at is some of the systems that are out there is this, you know, the single point failures that can, you know, reduce the capability available to the pilot. So, I mean, obviously in failure modes, in which we all train in, you know, we spend most of our time training for failure modes. And then when you get out to fly regularly, you're in some of these systems, you're looking at something different when you're normally flying versus when you're in a failure mode where you're looking at a composite or you're flying the standby instruments or all these kind of things. And what we wanted to do is let's make the failure modes behave like the regular system in that you're not having to kind of relearn some symbology at a point where your workload's really high and perhaps your stress level is even higher. Let's make it so that, okay, well, if I happen to, in the unlikely event I did lose my left display, I just push a button and my right display looks just like my left display. It's not a composite. It's not some lesser functionality. I still have access to my data link. I still have access to my Lightning and et cetera. So you have access to all of the features of the product.
Let's talk about some of the unique feature sets of the system. I mean, one in particular just totally rocked my world. Let's talk about GeoFill.
GeoFill is a kind of a algorithm that allows the FMS to more intelligently predict what you're inputting into the flight management system. As you start to type in a waypoint, typically the GPS knows where you're at as you start up the airplane. So as you start to type in a waypoint, it's going to assume that as you type the first few letters, it's quickly and searching the database for all the waypoints, not alphabetically, but by reference to geographic distance from your airplane. The system's smart enough to know that if you put in a VOR, for an example, it's not going to ask you if you want the one in Japan because it's smart enough to know you're in a single-engine airplane and that's not the leg you're going to be after. So it suggests the one that's closest to you. So with a hand on a single knob, you can enter an entire flight plan without ever taking your hand off the one knob, twisting and punching. And by pushing the enter button, which the knob acts as the enter button as well, so you're not even removing your hand from it. But it allows you to enter an entire flight plan with one knob and about one-tenth of the quote-unquote keystrokes.
Well, there was a tremendous effort being made on the physical ergonomics of the, you know, human-machine interface, so to speak. You didn't wind up with hands all over the panel and down to the radios and up to this and up to that. And yet, at the same time, you know, there's multiple ways of interfacing with the system. You can interface directly through the FMS, but virtually everything I saw that you can do through the FMS can still be done through the screens.
Right. We intentionally designed it so that you can have the keyboard as optional. As we move down market some, there might not be a place for the keyboard. And in a redundancy form situation, you want to be able to still tune the radios from the bezel controls, still do the FMS functions from the bezel controls. But what's nice by adding the keyboard, it reduces the keystrokes even more. And plus, we have a display in it's actually a control display unit. So our keypad actually has a display in it. So when you're looking down at the keypad to enter data, it's giving you visual feedback right there, which is a little easier to operate than having to look up at the screen and then look back down, you know, as we found when we were doing human factor studies. So,
and of course, another major component in all this is a real live FMS.
Absolutely. It's actually running in the Cirrus configuration. We're running dual instances of the FMS 900W simultaneously, and it's controlled through the single keypad. So in the event you lose either of your displays, the FMS doesn't miss a beat. Each one knows what the other is doing at all times. There's no cross-fill required or loading a second flight plan to get your backup. So it's a really intelligent system in that way.
If you've ever been frustrated with the process required to enter a flight plan into your FMS, you'll want to hear how that process can be improved when you start with a clean sheet. More with Avidyne's Tom Harper in a moment. I'm Paul Platt, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell is talking with Avadyne's Tom Harper about the newest release of the Integra Integrated Flight Deck. Avadyne has always been noted for user-friendly interfaces. That attribute remains a focus.
One of the loveliest aspects of what I saw there was how you handle flight plans. One, it's brilliant, but two, the way the information is presented, there's a lot of subsidiary small data that normally you'd have to twist and turn and go look for, and there it is, all in each individual flight plan bar. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the first thing and most obvious when you're looking at the screen is we've designed this FMS with big screens in mind. Contrary to our unlike the systems before it, they were all constrained by having to be on a little 3-inch screen. So they were forced to look and have multiple pages and abbreviations and things like that that made it really difficult to understand what you were doing or how to find the next step. By starting with a clean sheet FMS design and having the benefit of using the big glass as our display, now we can use colors to have more meaning. It's much more obvious. One of the things you find on the standard FMSs are the GPSs out there is when you go to add a waypoint, are you putting it before, are you putting it after? It's kind of hard to tell, and then you end up having to clear it and start over. With this system, it's very obvious whether you're entering or replacing. So the insert cursor is, as an example, is one way of we've made it more simple and more intuitive. In addition, at each waypoint, you can put in the assigned altitude. If you have a hold, we can talk about. It'll show you the direction of the holding pattern, among other things. So it's just much more intuitive. And like you said, at a glance, you can get a lot of information, and you're not having to skip to hidden pages.
Well, I have to tell you, like I said, I came away with a certain amount of wow because the capabilities are all there. Both what I saw on the airplane and what I've seen demonstrated in prototypes, and you've got a very nice, elegant solution for synthetic. The enhanced looks good. Real excited about the autopilot and so forth. But overall, and this is the part that concerns me most, I'm back in a single pilot IFR environment now with a very high performance, capable airplane that takes me as high as 25,000 feet at 250 miles an hour plus. At that, that point, things happen, and things happen fast, especially in a state like Florida with all our military airspace, all our special use airspace, and God help us if anybody over at NASA is deciding to light off a bottle rocket that day. The workload is absolutely intense, and it's not getting simpler.
Right.
So the efforts that are being made to make the pilot the manager rather than the calculator,
yep.
99.9% of the time, yay, yeah, Bubba, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Simplify, maybe. Sophisticated, yes. A methodology, yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. A simple, basic, sound, solid methodology that doesn't mean that we have to be configuring, calculating, and updating every 2 seconds.
That's really very well put. We've let the computer do a lot of the mental gymnastics and allow the pilot to manage the flight and the system and work within the IFR system. It's brilliantly done, and I think it's a perfect illustration of Avadyne's Flying Made Simple concept, and we're quite proud of it and excited to see it come to market.
Or at least on this side of the fence here, so simple an aviation journalist can use it. So we'll take that as it goes. Tom, before we leave here, anything else on the horizon? Any hints? You talked about Release 10 already, which is something that's been on the horizon. But there's a new reinvigorated Avidyne out there, and that's just cooler than hell, because no matter whose side you're on, competition is good for aviation.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here?
Well, I will say this, that Avidyne's from its inception, Dan's had this vision to develop the glass cockpit that we're bringing to market with Integra Release 9, having next generation radios that are going to operate in the NEXCOM VDL Mode 3 environment, an FMS that is a real game changer in terms of ease of use, high resolution glass, digital attitude based autopilot. So we've got a full line of sensors for traffic, for data link weather. We've pioneered that as well. So we've put together this suite of avionics that are really going to be the platform for the future. And these are the baselines with the next generation technology in mind. So we think we've got a terrific platform that'll take us a long time into the future.
And quick question, just based on some of the other things that we were talking at Oshkosh last year, what's happening with your larger and smaller form factor designs?
The PFD-4000, which we have previously announced, and then we showed also, that's an 8-inch version of glass, and then we've also have been showing a 15-inch, which is really designed more for the corporate jet kind of OEM market. So kind of hard to retrofit a 15-inch glass in most airplanes, but the point is...
Just get a bigger hammer, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. But Release 9 doesn't care what size the glass is. It's going to play and perform beautifully regardless of the glass size. In other words, we're still going to use XDA glass, and just we can put it on whatever form factor is needed for the specific application. We're continuing to move forward with that. We think we'll have some really cool things to talk about probably end of the year or early next year.
Tom, we sure appreciate your time, especially since we're all trying to get ready for one thing or another. We look forward to seeing the latest and greatest, and you and I are going to be having quite a conversation on Release 9, because much as I like my panel now, Release 9 has got me thinking.
Well, I think there's a lot of folks that are feeling the same way. They see the ease of use and the real benefits that brings to the pilots, and I think we're gonna have a lot of folks lined up to do just that. So we're really looking forward to it, and I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Jim Campbell is ANN's Editor-in-Chief. Tom Harper is Avidyne's Director of Corporate Marketing. Find out more about Integra Release 9 at www.avidyne.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.